I need your prayers. That isn't a request of false humility. I really need you. Is this on? All right. I have a subject tonight that is, the Lord's been dealing with me for a while. I need to condense it, and I need your prayers to do it. My thought tonight is respecting the gifting of God. And we want to start in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Pray for me, please. We want to start in Ephesians 4, starting at the 11th verse. And he gave some prophets, or gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now here's a list of gifts. It's not the only place in the Bible that gifts are listed. But these gifts are something that God gave. They're important. They cannot be left out. God made a plan. And in his plan, he made salvation be able to come to us through the blood of his Son. And that the Holy Spirit would come and live in us. And then it says, and then he gave gifts unto men. It takes all three of those things to make it from earth to heaven. Now, I know that there have been many that talk about the fact that we don't see very many of the gifts. And I believe that that is a true statement. And I believe that the Lord has been talking to me. He's been telling me why we're not seeing the gifts that should be accompanying the church. God gave gifts unto men. He never intended that we would receive everything directly from an isolated place with him. He intended us to be a body joined together. And he intended us to work as a body out in the world spreading the gospel. And he intended that there would be gifts for us to help us. It says, for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body. That's what the gifts are for. You're not going to get this anywhere else. He told us what the gifts are for. Now I want to tell you something. When you have a gift, you are not a special person. You are a person like everyone else. If there's anything I want you to take away from this message tonight, is that the gift is separate from the person. I'm ministering to you. But the gift is not a woman. The gift is not a man. The gift is God speaking. And the whole time that a person is operating in a gift, God is operating that gift. He drops it down. It's not something we earn. It's not something that we seek after and earn some kind of way. God decides. Now, what happens is I'm working out my own salvation just like you are. I'm a person just like you. I'm subject to the same temptations, the same trials as you. I am not a special being. I am just a person working out my own salvation that God chose to drop a gift on. And that's all. My message about respecting the gift, because I think we get it mixed up. We look at the person and we have respect to the person, or we have respect to the one that is this way or the one that is that way, because we're looking at the person that is operating under the gift. But it's the gift that you are to respect. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, starting at the first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Dropping down to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, see, that's what a gift is. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom. Do you know anybody with the word of wisdom? I was listening to a minister one day, and he was talking about how he was, when he was younger, he was cleaning up in a kitchen somewhere. And he said that the older saints were talking, and he was listening, and they were saying, they finally looked at him, they were talking about gifts in the body. And they said, did you know brother so-and-so? And he said, no. And he says, he had the gift of healing, or he had the gift of wisdom, or he had, they recognized the gift. But I'm going to tell you, we are so independent in this day and age. Because this day and age is teaching us to be independent. And we are so independent that we are not listening to what God has to say. We are not recognizing what He is doing among us, what He is trying to do. Now, let me tell you, how many young ministers do you know right now coming up? How many gifts of helps do you know of? How many apostles? How many evangelists? Respecting the gifts. I'm going to tell you what we do. We choose the diversity of the gift as what we like. Oh, I like it when it comes real gentle and soft. And God has that for you. He has, if you're the type of disobedient little child that needed the whipping, He has a minister for you. If you're the type that you had to have it explained over and over and over, He has a minister for you. But we have a tendency to pick and choose because it's special to us when they speak, because we understand it. We get it. We understand what they're saying. We need to respect the gifts. When certain ministers can get into the pulpit, and there are, I'm just trying to be plain. There are those that go, ugh. Now, you ask, I want to ask you something. Do you think God is pleased with that? That He gift, you know, He doesn't gift everybody the same. And we are all different. And if we have respect of persons in the gifting, God will just withdraw his gifts. Listen, we're living in the last days and we're going to have to make it all the way to the end. And Jesus said, am I going to find faith on the earth when I come? Am I going to find a body of people left that is still respecting all that I sent them, all that they were supposed to have, or are they going to have talked away their help? There are times when a minister gets out of the pulpit and somebody comes up to him and begins to tell him how they could have done it better, how they could have softened that a little bit. Maybe give them a case of so-and-so got out and walked out. It was just a little too hard for them. Respecting the gifts. God's gifting. It's not ours. Most people that are called that God drops a gift on, if in the beginning they were foolish enough to think that it was special, they are soon realize that it just makes you a target. People push you up and say how wonderful you do here, and then as soon as you cross them over here, they're saying, oh, that was a bad thing to do. What happened to you? It's a gift. Diversities of gifts. The same Spirit, different administrations. Now, if we're not careful, all of us will say in our hearts, seems like tonight ought to be this kind of message. And when that person gets up and they begin to go down a road that is maybe different than what you thought, all of a sudden you're not with them anymore. You're not pushing it anymore. Your mind begins going and the enemy starts talking. You know, they surely got up out of order. It was the wrong time. It was the wrong season. If somebody gets up out of order and it happens, and trust me, we don't like it any better than you do. When we find out and realize what has happened, you don't realize how hard we have to fight to get back up again. The gifting of God does not come cheap. If we're not careful, we will want it all. Listen, there is a segment of society that wants it all easy and soft and nice and pleasant. And the love of God is a wonderful thing. God is love. But the Bible tells us God is also a consuming fire. Yes. That means there are some things that have to just be burned out. You can't love it out.
That's right.
Sorry, it doesn't work like that. You can't love it out. It's got to be burned out. So, there are diversities of gifts. And the ones that are carrying the gift, they are doing their best to stay within their gift. But you know, we can get to looking at one another. And because my gift is exercised this way, I can get to thinking that everybody else's gift should kind of come along in the same vein. And then there are things that people say back and forth. Well, you were really hard. Now let me tell you. We talk about the messages. We do. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's legal things that you can say and allow in your mind, and there's illegal things that you cannot say and you cannot let get in your mind. You can say things such as, the Lord really brought judgment tonight. But most people don't say it like that. They say, oh, the minister was so hard. Respecting the gifting of God, the diversities. It says here, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit with all of us. It is a disrespecting of gifts for people to come and try to guide you down a path that they think should happen. You know what I'm talking about. My family's coming tonight. I've already picked out what they need to hear. And I want to help guide it there. And I want to say, now be careful. Listen. Just like we've heard in this meeting, God knows the very thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows down there deep inside. Oh, we may think that they need a love message. Oh, if we just love them enough, they'll come in. When God says that isn't what they need. They need a good spanking. That's what they need. Oh, yes, they may not come to the altar tonight. But the spanking will be something they don't forget. And they'll take it home with them. And the Lord will use it over and over and over again to remind them. As we go on, it says, the word of wisdom. Gift of wisdom. Know anybody with the gift of knowledge? Do you know anybody with the gift of healing? Surely we need a gift of healing. But I'm going to tell you, God will not give gifts to his people if they do not respect his gifting. If they speak bad about it behind closed doors. If they go off and say, well, I really like that brother, but, you know, he always... Or somebody asks us, how was the message last night? Well, every good and perfect gift comes from above. They're perfect. You may not have gotten anything. You need to try harder. There are some ministers that talk over my head. I get kind of lost. But I don't give up. You don't give up. You try to get the end. There's a punchline coming. Many times a whole message works up to the punchline. It says, working of miracles. Do we need some miracles worked? Prophecy. Somebody foretelling something that's coming. Oh, you know what we'd do if somebody tried to tell us something was coming. You already know. All of you sitting here know what we would do. It's the independent age we live in. Tongues. Discerning of spirits. Listen, in this day and age, do we need somebody that has discernment of spirits? Yes. Yes, God helps us all. He does. He blesses us. But a person, the actual gift of discerning of spirits is that they don't even have to know the particulars. They can come in and discern the spirit that is there. Yes. I don't have to know the background. I don't have to know what all's been working and this and that. We find out the background on people. We can pretty much guess what kind of spirits are working.
Yes.
But discerning of spirits. Yes. Listen, we're in the last days, dear ones.
Yes.
We need these gifts more now than we ever had. Don't you know? Do you see them dwindling and going? Do you see how nobody is stepping up? Listen, there are so many people that look at it. I don't know how many people I've heard. Young people, I don't want to get saved because, and you know what they say. The Lord might call me to preach. Why is that so scary? Because they've watched what happens to preachers. That's why. Instead of being held up and prayed and propped by the prayers of the saints, instead of when the minister's bringing forth a message and you should be in your seats and praying and holding them up, and if they begin to stumble a little bit or something, you should pray harder and rebuke the devil. And instead of doing all of that, we sit there and go, they got out of order. Respecting the gifting of God. He will not gift without respect. It says, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. He gives it as he will.
Yes.
Do you know that part of the gifting of God is to actually challenge you? He knows who we are. He knows who he calls. He knows what our personalities are. He knows us. Sometimes we can be a trial to you. Do you know that God intended us to be that? He intended you to get something. To get something better. To get something to be able to put up with a stumbling message from time to time. All right. Another listing of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, teachers. How many teachers do you know? Somebody that can sit down and go from the front to the back of the Bible and line up the scriptures all in a line and teach you something. Teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps. Who has the gift of helps in your congregation? I'm going to tell you what, we burn out the people with gifts of help. Because we'll let them either do it all by themselves or we'll complain about everything they do. I have watched in a congregation where someone has, I don't know what you would call it, maybe it's like a gift of giving. And they are always saying, we should send money to so and so. We should send money here. We should take up an offering for them. We should do this. We should do that with the money. And then there are the others in the congregation that are savers. And they don't want to turn loose of any of the money. Can we outgive God? I don't think you believe it. I don't think you believe it. Because I believe that everyone would give more if they really believed that. But there are some that want to hold the money, some that want to give the money. Now, the ones that hold the money, they say to the one that wants to give the money, you don't understand what, you know, we have bills, you don't understand this, you don't understand that. And the one that's given the money says, you don't understand my God. And there are those that say, well, I don't know if we should do it or not do it. Okay. But do you know sometimes the ones that don't know are the ones that stop the whole project? You know what I'm saying? They don't know. Then just humble yourself to someone else. Let them have it. Why? I don't know. See, there are gifts in the body. And we're to recognize them. But you know what we have to do? We have to give up our own thoughts. Our own way of thinking. The way we do it at home. Listen, just because it works well in your family at home does not mean it's right for the church. Because families are all different. But the church is one body. Governments. You know anybody with the gift of governments? Governments. How to organize it. How to make it work right. How to take problems and fix problems and get it to... Know anybody like that? Nothing worse than trying to operate under a gift of government that no one recognizes. You're going to have to give up your own thoughts and your own ways. You're going to have to give up how you see it. You're going to have to give up how you've always done it in order for God to be able to show you something different. We've already heard in this meeting how radical a change that Jesus brought. Yes, it was fulfilling the Old Testament, but they didn't see that. Just looked like a big change to them. But somebody had to recognize it. For it to work, somebody had to recognize it. We talk too much about what we think. We talk too much about what we think. You know, our parents told us, you can think it, but don't let everything you think come out your mouth. And you know, that's how we have to be as good stewards in the church, in the church of God. We can think, but don't let it all come out. Make sure you pray about it. Make sure you get the mind of the Lord on it. And then, if somebody comes up with another idea that is just as good. You know, sometimes ideas are just as good, they're just done differently. And we can't hardly abide that. You find that out when you get married. It's just done differently. When I married my husband, he didn't think a floor could be clean unless you were on your hands and knees scrubbing it. And I used a mop. And we had a few words about it. It's clean. We just had a different way of getting there. As far as diversities of gifts, all these different gifts that we're talking about here. In our home, we have a pastoral gift and we have an evangelist gift. Now, I don't know if everybody understands those differences. But they are big differences. Big differences. And we had to work that out. He was constantly trying to push me. And I was constantly holding on to him. Pulling him back. Because our gifts work different. And we think that the way we do it is the right way. And the Lord had to teach us how to let each other be free in the Spirit. Amen. Dear ones, if you will turn turn your opinions of the gifts and the ones that have them, if you will turn them to the side and begin to pray and refuse to accept accusations, God will give more gifts. If you love the gifts, if you appreciate the gifts, He will give them to us. But as long as we fight and devour one another, He won't give them. And we need Him so bad in these last days. Don't you think we need some discerning of spirits in these last days?
Yes.
Don't we need some prophecy in these last days that gives us a little bit of a understanding about what's going to happen? The gift of prophecy was not to show off that I know what's going to happen. It was so that people could prepare. Don't you think we need these things? As the day approaches, as the Savior's going to come through the clouds soon, don't you think we need prophecy? All right, moving on. Lord, help me. In Matthew 13, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Let me see. I'm going to start at, 54. Matthew 13, 54. And when he was come, Jesus, was come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Where did this come from? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary and his brethren? And aren't his sisters with us too? Whence has this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house."
Yes.
Do you know that when God drops a gift on somebody, they're in a congregation somewhere? Do you know you know their history? You know their history. You know what they're like. You've seen their weaknesses. You've seen them grow. You've seen them stumble. You've seen them do all manner of things. And now God's going to pick them up and he's going to drop a gift on them. They're still going to have to work out their own salvation like they've been doing. But he's going to give them a gift that they're responsible for. And we look around and we say, "What? Them?" And we think, "Oh, they must have missed it." People are afraid. They're afraid to have a gift from God. Dear ones, we've made them afraid. They're afraid because they don't see everybody rallying around and respecting the gifts. Not the person. The gift, rallying around the gift, holding up, thanking God for the gift. Thank God. You know, all you have to do is have your minister gone for a couple of Sundays in a row, and you start really thanking God for that gift, don't you? When you all have to come to service and you have to try to bring something, you depend on him or her to bring something every Sunday. Now all of a sudden you have to bring something. Then you appreciate it, don't you? Till the next time they preach something that isn't quite what you want to hear. And then you got something to say. Now it'd be all right if you just thought it in your own mind. But you aren't doing that. You're talking about it to somebody else. And you're causing that gift to lose influence over there. And then that person calls clear across the country, and then it causes someone way over there to not have confidence in that gift. Because it's not the person. If you get anything tonight, it's not the person. We are still working out our own salvation. You see weaknesses in us? That's because we're working out our own salvation. You see little traits in us? It's because we're human like you are. But the gift is pure. It comes from God. And He drops it down and He moves through it.
Yes.
And we're not to look at the person. So, Jesus even said, He couldn't do many mighty works there. Can you believe that? They had Jesus. He had been healing everywhere. And they couldn't get any healing there because they were so busy looking at His family history. God sometimes chooses the weak and the beggarly elements to bless us with. The ones that we would never choose. You know how we are. We have a certain kind of vision in our mind of what we want our pastor to be. And if you don't quite fit in that box, then we're not sure we want you. Give up your own ideas. Respect the gifting that God gives. All right. We have two examples in the Old Testament, Saul and David. One respected the gifting of God and one disrespected the gifting of God. You know which ones are which, right? The one that stood boldly in the prophet's face and said, I've done the will of God. Disrespecting the gift of God. Not following through, not doing what he was supposed to do, not waiting, not, you know, just taking it all in his hands. And then David, when the prophet came to him and told him, you're the man, and he repented, was in sackcloth and ashes. He didn't say, oh, no, you've got it wrong. You got it wrong. And don't think that all the ministry hasn't heard that. Someone comes to you, they're pouring out their heart, they want you to help them. Oh, we need help sometimes. We just need some comforting words. We need some ideas. We need some counsel. And then when you begin to pour out the counsel, they begin to explain why that really isn't it. Respecting the gifts. Do you think that the gift, see, forget the person. Do you think that God would allow the gift to lead you astray? Listen, God can put wisdom in our minds and in our, we just admit it, we don't have it. God gives it. He gives the counsel. He gives the word, the messages. He puts it together. Well, this isn't something we think up. This isn't something that we say, oh, we look around and have observation. It doesn't come through observation. Oh, I see what everybody needs. I'll go home and get a message on that. That isn't how it works. We wouldn't even be able to deliver a message like that. I'm going to tell you we wouldn't. It would go so flat, we would get down. Because if God doesn't fill us while we're here, up here, if God doesn't fill you, you have nothing. You are empty. Now, in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This vocation here is not talking about a gift. It's talking about what you all have, what all of us have. We're Christian. We're to be walking as God would have us to walk. We're to be walking as He has designed. We're to throw out our ideas, our ways, our thinking, our method of handling problems, and we are to take on all of His. But there's only one way to get that. It's through humility and loneliness and meekness. Lowliness and meekness in us. Listen, the Lord has designed that you would have help for everything you need. He made a perfect plan. But it isn't just the Holy Spirit living in you. It isn't just the blood of Jesus. It is the gifts that He dropped on man to help each other with. And without them, we are lacking. It says it was made for the perfecting of the saints.
Yes.
We won't ever be perfected. We won't ever be what God expects us to be if we fight and kick against the gifts that God wants to bestow upon us. We can't look at one another and judge one another. It's unity of the Spirit. It's the same Spirit working in you that's working in me that's working in the gift. It's the same Spirit. It all works together. Now you remember the vision that Peter had. You remember the vision that Peter had, the sheet coming down and how the Lord told him to slay and eat. And he said, oh no, I wouldn't touch that. He was about to be told something so different and so radical that if he didn't get it, God's plan was going to be thwarted. It wasn't going to work like God wanted it to work. And so, after it all happened, and he went, in the first verse it says, and the apostles and the brethren that were at Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and doth eat with them? Now I had to do some explaining. So he goes on to explain how it all came to pass. All the miracles that fell into line, one after the other, in order to get him to the house where the Holy Ghost fell on him. So he says, and as I began to speak, he's telling the story. He's getting towards the end. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us in the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then, now he's pleading with the brethren, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace.
Yes.
When was the last time you heard these things and held your peace? They recognized something. They recognized a gift working.
Yes.
And they recognized that God intended something. They held their peace. They had nothing more to say. At first they were contending, but then when he told the story and how God had worked, and then they held their peace. And they glorified God.
Amen.
Saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That was so radical. So radical. Do you know that God has some things like that for our age and our time?
Yes.
This end time, this time when Jesus is about to come. There's probably some radical things that God would like to accomplish and like to do. But he's going to use men. And he needs the prayers of the saints to back up the men that he uses, that he gifts to go and work and do, instead of always questioning, well, I don't know if they should have gone there, and I don't know if they should have gone there, done that. You know, seems to me the way it turned out looked like it didn't work right. We're hard. We're hard on the gifts. These are God's gifts.
Yes.
They're not man's. They're God's. You've got to separate the man from the gift. Yes, you see us every day. You see us and we interact. And we may do something that doesn't look quite right. We may say a word out of turn. We may look like we ignored somebody. Or we may look like that we laughed too hard. Or, you know? But that isn't the gift. That's just me. I'm like you. I'm just sitting in the pews with you. The gift is something God drops on someone and uses. And they don't have to be special and perfect and have everything worked out and know that everything... Yes, they have to be clear before God. But you and I both know that everybody is a different stage of growth. Do you know even the ones that have gifts are in a different stage of growth? Do you know that? There are some things that some people learn early in their experience, and there are some that they learn late in their experience. And depending on who you are and what you're made up of is how fast you learn those things. Don't look at the man. It's not him. When the gift gets up, when just ignore the man part. Just hear what does thus saith the Lord. Just hear it. Erase your mind about the man. Do you know in the scriptures, the ministers had to settle disputes? And there was a dispute in Acts, the 15th chapter. There was a dispute about, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So here they went off up to Jerusalem under the apostles and the elders about this question. And it said in the 7th verse, and when there had been much disputing, do you know that's okay to discuss things? To talk it off, to talk it back and forth, that's a good thing. In the scriptures it says, through the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. Now that doesn't mean that you, if you don't get the answer at this counselor, you go to another counselor and you keep going until you find one that gives you the answer you want. That's not wisdom. But this is wisdom. They disputed, they talked about it. Then Peter rose up. And this is what he had to say. First he said, now men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. 10th verse. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke on the neck of them? Which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Why are you doing that? Why are you making it, trying to make it so hard for them? Then all the multitude kept silent. Listen, there are times when the ministers have to deal with a problem and they have to dispute. They have to discuss. They have to go back and forth. But God should be able to come down in the midst of us and speak wisdom through one or more brethren to where the others all keep silent. It's the answer. Recognize the answer. Respect the gift. Respect it. And it won't always be the same person, trust me. It won't always be the same person. God wants to use all of the gifts. Then all the multitude kept silent, gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, they were pondering. Don't you know they were pondering? Don't you know they were listening? Sometimes what happens is that we're so busy trying to form our next thought, our next reply, that we're not even listening to what's being said. And you know that all happens everywhere because that happens in home. That happens in the home all the time. And so he said, James answered, saying, men and brethren, let's write him a letter that they abstain from the pollutions of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Those things that the Gentiles were all wrapped up in their worship, all wrapped up in their idols, and all of the ways that they did it. He says, let's tell them to stay away from all those things. And they wrote the letters. And after they wrote the letters, they went and they told them. And at the very end, in the 31st verse, it says, and they rejoiced for the consolation. They were happy. Now, what would it be if we leave a gathering like that and we felt like it wasn't quite like how we thought it should go? So we went and gathered some on the side and discussed it all over again and decided maybe that wasn't wisdom. I'm asking the question, is that a good thing? I'm asking the question that if you're not brave enough to speak it in the assembly, don't be speaking it in private to someone else. You have your own thoughts. That's all right. You have your own prayers. You can go to God with it and you can talk to him with it over and over. You can express your ideas and what you think, and you can do all of that. But don't undermine the decision and the congregations, you may get word of it. Don't undermine it. Well, I don't know why they handled it this way. It should have been handled that way. Or I'm not in agreement with that. That hurts so and so. And this person has left us now. And because it was handled this way. Don't do that. There are certain things that are reserved for to be handled inside of the gifts that is not for the general public. And we undermine the gifts when we question every decision they make. When we question any judgment they lay down. When we question whether or not that was the correct way or the right way. And we begin to talk here and we talk there and we talk here and there. And everybody has an opinion. If we will respect the gifts, God will make them perform better. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we are willing to work within the framework that God has set up, and we use our voices to pray instead of discuss, God will make and will be able to use those gifts to a greater capacity, to where you might not have as many complaints. You know, Agabus was a prophet, and he came down and he prophesied that there was going to be a dearth throughout the world. This is in Acts 11. And you know what happened after he said that? Then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea. Now you tell me, if somebody came up and said, there's going to be this horrible catastrophe and so and so, would all of us get behind it? See, we need some gifts of prophecy. But you see what I'm saying? In our congregations, they want to just give a little money. And we don't know if we should do it. But they says, let everybody just gave as much as they could, and they sent it off. It hadn't even happened yet. Right. Some people say, well, let's wait and see. Then he came back and he took Paul's girdle and he wrapped it and he said, this is the man's going to be bound. And what happened? It says, and when they heard these things, when he heard what he prophesied was going to happen to Paul, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. We believed it. Don't go up there. They're gonna put you in bonds. Don't go up there. And even Paul said, listen, I'm not only ready to go up and be bound, but I'm willing to die there. These are gifts, dear ones, gifts. We need these gifts. But we as a people have got to respect them. Paul admonished Peter to his face. Remember that? Oh, listen. Somebody gets admonished, everybody's got an opinion. Right? We've got an opinion. They shouldn't have said it this way. They should have said it in private. They should have done it this way. They should have done it that way. They should have just waited to see. I mean, everybody has an opinion. But the gift said, admonish him publicly. And it worked. It worked. There came an understanding. And there came a fear to be found being in that two-party divisionary system anymore. You know how your children are? How they misbehave in public because they think you won't do anything? And you have to prove to them that you will. And then they stop. Sometimes a public admonition is needful. But those of us are all wrapped up in love. We say, oh, shouldn't have happened like that. Those that are in all wrapped up in judgment, they say, should have done that and more. And God has the gift that just does it the right way. Do you know that Paul named out fallen brethren? We don't like that, do we? But it's a gift. It's a gifting of God. It's part of the responsibilities of a gifting of God. God opens up and tells you things. Do you honestly think that we get this all ourselves? That God hasn't done it? Listen, we don't like dispute any better than you do. We don't like unhappy people any better than you do. It's hard to shepherd sheep that are really upset with you. We don't like that. But the gift constrains us to do things a certain way. We know, no, but everybody isn't going to see the wisdom in it. But the gift constrains us that we have to do it this way. Some people say, oh, just teach the principles and everybody will get it. Others say, name them out or they'll never get it. And you know, there's people that need it both ways. And people in the middle. I was such a worldly girl when I came to the Lord. I couldn't have got it by a principle. I didn't even know what a principle was. I had no shamefacedness. I had nothing. I had nothing. But God saved me. And I went out and thought I was so modest. But it wasn't modest, what I did. But it was so modest for where I came from. I mean, I felt so covered. And I was still naked. Sometime God has to name things out publicly. Fallen brethren have to be told. Other people have to be warned about fallen brethren. People don't like it. Somebody always thinks it should have been done another way. We need to respect the gift. Pray. 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 Pray for the ones that are exercising in the gifts. They need your prayers. I'm not saying that you can't have some constructive criticism. We'll listen. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying pray, 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 and respect the gifting of God. His diversity. His different administrations, the different ways he chooses to handle any given problem. We can't pull from over here and say, well, he worked this way this time, so it worked just as good over here. No, it won't. God knows all the intimate details. Listen, we have a sad lack among us of gifts. Sad, sad lack. Most of us can only name preachers and teachers and maybe some evangelists. And that's about all we can name among us. All those other gifts that were listed tonight, we don't even know who that would be. God wants to gift us.
Yes.
But we have to respect.
Yes.
Respect.
Yes.
Not criticize. Not go behind the backs. Not talk it all out. Not spread it. Not say how we don't believe this and we don't think that and we don't want it that way and we don't know why they did it that way. Listen. Respect, because God will not stay where he is not respected.